Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
We're in the book of Proverbs, growing in wisdom. Last week, if you were not here or if you weren't online, I preached from Proverbs chapter 1 to 4. Today we begin Proverbs, last week was Proverbs chapter 2 to 4. The first week of July was Proverbs chapter 1, and today it is Proverbs 5 to 7. And our catch line is, a proverb a day keeps the foolishness away. Some of you haven't heard it. You're going to know it by the end of the summer. What is it? A proverb a day keeps the foolishness away. And so we're going through the proverb 5 to 7 today. And proverb 5 to 7 is to demonstrate that wisdom is given by God in every aspect and every sphere of life. And proverb 5 to 7 is a reminder that we must avoid the traps of life. We're going to avoid the traps of life. So today, we're going to talk about some practical areas that many avoid talking about in the church. There are pastors who will not touch certain scriptures, but scripture is given for instruction, for correction, for rebuke, for encouragement, and for our growth and development. We should preach every bit of scripture at all times, so we're going to preach it today. And you're going to say hallelujah through the message. And during this summer, we're going to continue with the reading of God's word, because there are times when you get busy, you're running on vacation, you're running out early, you're going for your walks because you don't have it in the winter. So we're going to preach as you read the word each Sunday. We want to read a passage together, loudly, boldly. And if there's a part that you see emphasis, you emphasize it. Don't worry about your neighbor. You emphasize it. So we're going to read today Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. So let's get ready to read this together. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to read from the screen myself. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3. My child, if you have put up security for a friend's debt, or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger, if you have trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you said, follow my advice and save yourself, for you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now swallow your pride, go and beg to have your name erased. Let's go. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. Save yourself like a gazelle escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing from a net. Just pause for a moment. This is the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. You may have another translation, but I always preach from the New Living, and each pastor will declare which one. I forgot to say which one I was reading from. Here we go, verse 6. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit, and scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. What are worthless and wicked people like? They're constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of the eye, a nudge of the foot, or a wiggle of fingers. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. But while they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. There are 6 things the Lord hates, no 7 things he detests. haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. My son, obey your father's command, and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way of life, the way to life. It will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Can a man scoop a flame out of his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? So it is with the man who sleeps with another man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished. Excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he is starving, but if he is caught, he must pay back seven times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house. But the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. He will be wounded and disgraced. His shame will never be erased. For the woman's jealous husband will be furious, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation, nor be satisfied with a payoff of any size. I believe that is the end of the reading of Proverbs chapter 6 from the New Living Version. Avoid the traps. Before you're seated, make sure you meaningfully share, and online, type it in the chat line and tell us where you're coming from. Avoid the traps. Tell someone this morning. Praise the Lord. As you can see, I've got a great passage to preach this morning. Proverbs 6, avoid the traps. God will not tolerate when people ignore his word, his standards, his commandments, and when we choose to make up our own set of guidelines, write our own rule book for the brief time that God has given us on earth. People have forgotten that we only have a brief season on earth. The writer of Ecclesiastes that tells us about the brevity of life is Solomon, the same writer of Proverbs. And Solomon reminds us that in the brevity of life, God gives us a chance to do many things, but we must never ignore the commands of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord that he has given us and the freedom he's given us, he leaves us to justifiably do what we want with it, but remember that he will also judge us at the end of time. And so today, as we go through Proverbs chapter 5 to 7, we just read chapter 6, and I'll touch on it on the end, but both Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7 deals with warning about immoral women. And that's a passage that these are passages that many ministers and churches don't want to touch on while the world has gone crazy about sexuality. So let me read just a few verses. Proverbs 7, I'm going to read 7 before 5 because they tie in better to me this way. Proverbs 7, I'm just going to read verse 1 to 9. Follow my advice, my son, and always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Guard God's instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister. Make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. This is verse 6. While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. I'm telling you, folks, I really pray you'll give me 2 hours one day to go at a sermon. Because if I was to preach this proper, I'd start off, naive young men, you gotta get some common sense. Because those promiscuous young ones out there, they got tricks that will get you if you're not looking in the dark hour. It can preach. Would you all preach it yourself? Let me read now Proverbs chapter 5, and I'm going to read 1 to 14. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my sound counsel, my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment, and your lips will express what you have learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Young men, have you guys met some of those? See, the reason I'm going to pause right here for a moment, a lot of times we think it's only the men that have smooth lips. Somebody talk to me today. And so we're like, oh, guys, it was sweet talk. But we don't realize that there are a lot of women. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The man is telling you that there are some women out there that, as smart as you think you are, they're smooth like oil. They just slip right on. But in the end, she's as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path of life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor. You will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. That is a point to underline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. My job to you, is to ensure that I warn you of what is happening in our current society and how we must progress and continue to live as Christians in a world that is broken. Verse 13, oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. This Solomon is writing to remind us that seductions come subtly. Seductions come subtly. Church, I need you to stay with me. Online, I need you to stay with me, because this is an imperative message for the times that we are living in. Sexual immorality is extremely prevalent today because it has been made commonplace in the public sphere. And opportunities to compromise are everywhere, made even easier because of the generation of television. From the 60s and 70s, there was something called the sexual revolution that changed everything, removed morality, and began to increase sexuality in an openness. And anything that starts somewhere, it spirals and spirals until now there is such a promiscuous lifestyle that it's even people want us to accept in the church that marriage is not important, that people can sleep with whoever they want, whenever they want, that even the kids can do what they want in schools and in bathrooms, and we should say nothing. And I say, absolutely not. That is not from the Word of God. So in the 60s and 70s, it was television. We saw it and said, look where it's at. Then came internet and we said, look where it's at. Now it's got what? Now it's social media and we're like, look where it's at. Do you think it's stopping? It's only going to stop when the church realizes this is a problem in society and it's going to destroy us. See, God designed things so that those who follow his guidelines for every sphere of life, including sex and sexuality, will find great satisfaction and fulfillment in walking in the good ways that God prescribed. But those who give in to sexual immorality, he says in Proverbs 5, they will experience guilt, frustration, dissatisfaction and regret, and it'll happen both in their own breakdown, in the breakdown of their family, in their personal suffering, and in the destruction even of their future. It will even affect you in your employment. And you think, oh, I know wealthy people who sleep around with everyone. Yes, and the more they do, the more they need, until they go into realms that is unstoppable, because it's never enough. Sin seems to be never enough. So folks, moral absolutes have not changed. And most importantly, the Word of God has not changed. Folks, the Word of God has not changed. So Solomon is teaching wisdom here by reminding every one of these unconscionable things that must be avoided. And I knew preaching this today that it's going to cause the church to be quiet. But I'm ready for it. I told the worship team, I said, Melissa, get ready to sing a song when they go too quiet. It'll add to your time, not mine. Do not engage unconscionable actions. Unconscionable. Your conscience should never be seared enough. That you do not know what is right or what is wrong. And society is becoming our teacher. Solomon said, be wise and let the word be your teacher. Be wise and know who your teachers are. Society is teaching and we're compromising. I need the church to know. The church does not compromise. We teach from the word of God, and society needs to know when they are wrong, because we know we are right. Amen. So here are some of the unconscionables that he mentions in Proverbs chapter 5. Do not commit adultery. Well, this is one of the Ten Commandments from Exodus 10 verse 14. Exodus 20 verse 14. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Because you see, folks, whatever God creates, Satan perverts. Young people, take out those cell phones that all that mess comes in and do that one. I'm looking for the cell phones to come out. This one's got to tweet out. This one's got to, you got to Snapchat this one. You got to Instagram it, Insta to anything it. Whatever God creates, Satan perverts. Does Satan create? He just perverts. He distorts. It didn't take long after fallen humanity to distort and destroy God's sacred gift of sexuality. When God created Adam and Eve, male and female, he made them one. From one rib, he made the other. Then he breathed breath into the man, and the man became a living being. And then he gave him Eve and took a rib to do that. And he said, now you'll be together, you'll be one. And from that day on, Satan began to pervert, even right in the Garden of Eden. So don't think that this is not the enemies mixed in society, causing us to grow cold and numb to it. And how is sexuality viewed today? The views on human sexuality have changed throughout history. It's not the new, nothing is new. If you go to the old Roman times and Greek times, there were sex gods and sex goddesses. It was prevalent and it was destructive until they lost their senses, and some of the things they were doing was sick beyond measure. If you go to some of the third world countries right now where they exploit women and girls and babies and rape children, you will see it's a sexual perversion, because what God has ordained as something beautiful, Satan perverts to be something evil. And so, folks, even the youngest children now are being presented by some by their parents, or some are presenting themselves in a sexual appealing manner, which is contrary to their healthiness and to their proper growth and development. Many of you have seen it. They're young kids now. The parents are dressing them like they are number one prostitute of the day, taking pictures and putting it on Facebook and trying to get clicks on it. And at the same time, you've got such an extreme perversion happening in the world. And then there are young people, especially now in the elementary schools, they only want to dress like they're 30 and they want to wear half this and no that. We're not about clothes in the church, but we're about morality. Morality matters. And each one of us adults need to have a level of morality that shows the next generation. I'm an advocate. Don't ever tell our young people how to dress for church. I want them to learn morality from the Word of God. Some of you say, oh, don't wear jeans with a hole in it. Do you know what? So what if they show their little knee in a jeans? It's cute. I just say to them, don't have the holes up here. Be bold. That's all. Parents, major on the things that are major. Church, don't let minor things destroy the next generation. Young people, learn morality, what makes you look beautiful, but not what is a sexually attractive thing to those who will be looking. And every person who adorns himself, men and women alike. Men, there are some issues. I won't call it out in the pulpit. I'll leave that for Pastor Dennis. Pastor Dennis, at the men's thing, you tell them there's a trend going on that y'all need to fix also, but I'll leave that for one of the other pastors. I could say it, but I'm going to not do it today. See, people express their sexuality in the way they speak. Hi. You see those commercials for those girls? Hi. My name is Sandra. Sandra. And I want to talk to you. And men dial in. Dude, you're paying for what she is giving, and she is working for somebody. Did you think that it was you? Seriously. Slap yourself. We express sexuality in the way we smile. See, there's a smile and there's a... How we stand, how we sit, even how we sit, how we laugh, how we dance, how we cry. Young men, when you start dating a girl and all she does is, I can't believe it. Run. Sexuality is at the heart of who we are, of what we believe, what we feel, and how we respond to others. But the basis of God's creation is that he gives us emotions as male and female. He unites us as one in flesh when we come together under the union called marriage, a word people don't want to hear. I so thank God for the marriages we've been having in the last few years. All of you, I know that they're not all here, but I applaud you. Amen and hallelujah. Such a union is both physical and relational, exclusive and permanent. God intended sexual desire to draw people into healthy marriages and for a continuation of society to procreate through the natural means that God created. Through what means? The natural means that God created. See, everything has gone askew, and we need to fix our minds. Remember, our last season was changing society. We're going to change society. We need to be thinking how the Word declares it, not how the world is showing it. And so sexuality is an integral part of being a human. Love and affection, sexual intimacy, they all contribute to healthy relationship and individual well-being. But along with those positive aspects of human sexuality, there's also illnesses, emotional breakdowns caused by damage to self-esteem, anger, hate, rage, and many sins of the flesh that accompany it when it is not proper. So here's, I'm going to address the ladies and I'm going to address the men. Girls and ladies, here's what God says to you, girls and ladies. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 to 20 in the New Living Translation. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Ladies, can I hear a? And girls. Boys and men, here's what it says to you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 17. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one with her? For the scripture says the two are united into one. I said men and boys. And the reason I'm sharing it to the young men, even though this is talking about marriage, it's also talking about your sexual relationships early in life. You're tying yourself to people that will affect you for generations to come. Young men, this is a very promiscuous decade we're in, where it's prevalent in school, where you're trapped by schoolmates and girls and the quickness and readiness of social media and the ability to meet up. But remember, you are destroying your life because you're uniting yourself with spirits that will stay with you for many decades to come. So Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Lust is the biggest problem, and that's what the world is selling. And that's what the church needs to not buy. Folks, don't any of you go quiet here. Let me tell you, many of you have seen the news and you're hearing of many ministers that are falling and people are falling. You will not fall because you're going to stay with the Word. It is not humans we follow Christ. And that's the bottom line. When you know the Word, you know what to do. But these passages need to come back into the church so that we remind people these things are happening. People are being trapped daily. And you need to realize that if we don't take a stand, we're not going to see faithfulness continue in marriage, so the next generation knows there is a standard. So he says, be faithful to your spouse. Share your love only with your wife or your husband. Spouses, women, you cheat too. Come on, men. Help me out here. Solomon says this, drink your water at home. Guard the flow of your love, even when the person, so I added here, even when the person clinging to you makes you feel so good and so important. So this is a dual thing here. Couples, work harder at making each other feel valued and important. Let me just pause here. I counsel enough, been counseling enough years to tell you, a lot of times when a man goes out, it's because you didn't make him feel important. And somebody else comes, you're so cute, you're so tall, you're so handsome. Meanwhile, I'm Let me touch it. We women, if we're strong, we have a capacity to demasculate men. Talk to me, somebody. I know I've made some decisions in my life that why I'm not married, and I'm okay with that. But I know I'd probably be divorced because I'm just not the type that you push. I remember a young man when I was just a teenager, I was about 19, and he came up to me at church at Evangel, and he says, I'd like to invite you out for a coffee. I looked at him and said, have you ever brought a Bible to church? I've never even seen you walk with a Bible, and you want to come to me? And my girlfriend's like, you could have been nicer about it. I said, sharing with you the real. I've had some great relationships that didn't go through because I know I'm my call, and I would never compromise my call. I had some great times in life. I'm just being real with you, in case some of you think I'm a dud. Some of you ladies that don't know me, I dated a baseball player, and his final, before we were planning to get married, his final was, you don't need money. I have all the money we need. I have homes, different places, and I need you to not pastor because I won't be a pastor's wife. Because I'm committed to the call. But ladies, I've also had to learn over the years not to demasculate because of my strength. And some of you wives, you do it with a look. He can be cut. Some of you wives, come on, you know. You can cut him down with not even a word. And men, some of you do not honor your wives enough for them to honor you. And then you see beautiful other women and you're like, oh, look how beautiful she is. Well, do something to encourage your wife. He says, drink your water at home. Guard your heart. Young men, last week's message, guard your heart. Guard your heart in relationships when you are young. Don't give yourself away so freely. Young men, don't give yourself away so freely. You've got a long life ahead of you. Young women, don't give yourself away so freely. If you give the man the cow, he won't even need milk. He got the cow. Is this real? So remember, your parents will never see what you're doing, young people, but God sees you and he knows everything you're doing, even when you're doing it. I want to keep it real today. Bible says, avoid immoral ruin, you will always regret it. And so Solomon reminds you, remember Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines. He says, listen, folks, it's not worth it. You can't hit 1,000, and I did, and it ain't worth it. And so I want to encourage you, in the culture of today of extreme sexuality, there are times when there's people without any inhibition and no shame. But let us in the church do not cast off restraint like that. And in this summer, wherever we are, God still sees us. Be appropriate. Be free. Be fresh. Be loving. Be gentle. Be beautiful. But be appropriate. Did I say it? Okay, good. I wasn't sure. Regardless of how innocent things may look, it brings a moral ruin. And when the proper appropriation of life is ignored, a casting of the wind, it begins to bring ruin, not just to one generation, to many. And Solomon says, you will always regret it. He says, don't ignore. That's why when you go back and read it, he said, don't ignore my advice. I'm telling you what Solomon said. Don't ignore what I'm saying today. You will go into ruin that later on you wish you had. You're going to hear this message in your head online. You're going to hear me inside your head saying, I told you it will bring multiple ruin that you never wanted to see. You don't have to go down that road. And the consequences of immorality today, it destroys society at all levels. It destroys government. You've seen many go down. It destroys businesses. You've seen people who can't continue, or things are split, or marriages split and businesses sold, all these things. It destroys churches. We're seeing that everywhere today. It destroys homes, and it destroys people's health. So Solomon says, don't do it. Now, that is what you call hard teaching on a Sunday. But chapter 6, 5 to 7 are pinned. Much of Proverbs has thematic. So chapter 6, he goes and he tells a few more things. For those who are not in immorality levels, he says there's a few other unconscionable characteristics that you need to avoid. And so he begins with this. He says, avoid unconscionable characteristics. The other one was unconscionable actions. This one is unconscionable characteristics. And so here's the first one. Avoid foolish debt. Avoid foolish debt. Proverbs 6, verse 1 to 3. He says, don't take on debt recklessly that you cannot repay. And don't guarantee loans to people you don't know when they you know they can't repay you. If you know they can't repay you, give it. And if you gave it to them knowing they can't repay you, fool on you. Then don't become angry. And Solomon is just teaching practice. It says, avoid foolish debt. There are times where it's God, or we're angry. Solomon's just giving us practical wisdom. If you have it to give, give it. If you don't have it to give, don't give it. If you know that you loan it and they'll give it back, loan it. If you know they're the type, never give it. Parents, you got some children that are like that. Read them Proverbs 6, 1 to 3. When they ask you again, you'll say, didn't I tell you? And they'll say, well, just this one time. Yes. And the last 10 times was one time. And Solomon says, because if you want to stay blessed by God, use wisdom. And then he says this, avoid laziness. Proverbs 6, verse 4 to 11. Be diligent like the ant. Learn the wisdom of the ways of the ant. It has no leader forcing it to work, yet it works vigilantly all summer, storing up food for the winter. Learn, folks, how to think and to plan ahead. Do you know what? Christians are supposed to set the standard. And when we look like we don't know what we're doing, then the world's wondering why we're so foolish and we have a God. Learn how to think and plan ahead and write out things that will help you so that you avoid laziness. Listen. Hard work has never killed anyone, but slothfulness could. You see, some people think, if I just think it, it'll happen. Have you ever seen people that just think it? And then they're like, could you pray for me? This isn't happening. Why would it happen? Did you put your hands to it? Did you put your hand to the plow? Did you put your mind in it? I'm going to emphasize this point in a minute. We are the children of God. God gives us wisdom. When you don't know what to do, what do you do? You do what? You pray. And God will give you wisdom to know what to do. And when he gives you that wisdom and you do it, they're like, how did you know that? Because I'm a child of God and he guides me. He says, I'll direct your path. I'll help you. So the problem when you see Christians, and many Christians are known as the ones that don't do things well, and they're sloppy and they're slothful. That is not of God. That is worldly. And sometimes people won't even hire Christians because they're not as honorable as people in the world. Avoid laziness. Go the extra. Do the extra. Add the extra. Give the extra. And what will God do? He'll give you abundantly more. And then, the last one, avoid worthless and wicked people. This is Solomon going through chapter 6 now. Verse 12 to 15. You see, folks, you can easily tell people who are corrupt. So stop pretending they're good when you know their characteristics is evil. If you cater to them, you'll be like them. Can I say that again? When you know people who will stir up dissension, it says even in family, it means even in the family of God. You know, sometimes you know the character, you know their tongue, but if you like their gossip, you're like, really? Maybe it's true. Well, why is it true? It was lie the whole other times. Judge the character. Don't judge their spirituality. They have to deal with God. But judge the characteristics. If they are creating dissension in everything they do, don't be like them. Avoid them, for they have deceit and seduction, and wise people will protect themselves from seductive people. Are you hearing what he's saying? Avoid, what did he say? Avoid worthless and wicked people. Go and read it, and he'll tell you how to behave. And then, I'm sorry, I said it was the last one. I have two more. I'll go fast. Avoid what the Lord hates. Aren't you glad it's a summer service one time? I could go a little extra. Avoid what the Lord hates. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. Haughty and prideful eyes, a lying tongue, murderous, violent hands, devious, scheming hearts, wicked feet that eagerly rush to do evil, deceitful lying witnesses, and dissenting troublemakers. It's written there in Proverbs chapter 6. And then the last one now, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 22 and 23, avoid disobedience. He says, do not forsake wisdom. Bind it on your heart. Rely on wisdom to guide and protect you so that it will become your constant companion. And he says this, wisdom is a lamp and a light as you walk through life. Wisdom is a lamp and a light. There's another one. Pull out those cameras. There it is. Giving it to you. That's Proverbs chapter 6. You send that out to the world. Wisdom is a lamp and a light as you walk through life. Say that again with me. All of this chapter is on wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. It's what God gives us so we avoid the traps of life. There are traps that the enemy is setting. And in the church, we're going to be strong together, so that we continue to change society, not let society change us. Can I ask you, folks? Proverbs chapter 5 to 7. Take some time and go through it. Listen to the preaching of the word again today. And allow the Lord to guide you to have a pure heart. That's what God wants from us. Matthew 5:8 says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And then Psalm 73:1. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. We live in a broken world. We live in a promiscuous world. We live in an adulterous world. We live in a shameful world, but we have a powerful word, the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.
I'm going to ask every couple that's married over 40 years, I want you on the platform. All the couples married over 40 years, I want you to come on up on the platform. Would you just come on up on the platform? Just fill in over a little bit here for me. Make another line. I want the wheelchair even up here. Just fill in. This is good. I want all of the next gen under the age of 40, since they were married, I want you to come down to the altar. All of the next gen under the age of 40, I want you to come to the altar. How many years?
Four.
Say that again. I'm not sure that. Say that again.
54.
54.
Have you had some tough times?
Off and on.
But
we're together.
Come on. How many years?
61.
61. Did you ever feel like killing him?
Yep.
But he's still here. You're still here.
Yeah.
How many?
60.
Sorry? 40?
41.
41. How many?
54. 42.
50.
50.
48.
48.
At least 40.
49.
And do you still want to kill him?
Sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes.
How many?
40.
40.
43.
60.
60.
50.
50.
50.
57.
50.
50 years.
43.
I didn't get everybody. Let me get a few more.
53.
59. Wow. Wow. Oh gosh, Claudette, tell me, how many?
In a couple of weeks, 41.
I would have killed him by now. That's one of my board members, I can joke. Oops, sorry. Let me just do a few more, Mom.
56.
Have you had some troubles along the way?
Yes.
But you made it.
48?
40. Young people, it hasn't always been perfect, but they've learned something. You stay together, you guard your heart, you fight through the battles, you don't give up the minute a problem comes. How many of you had problems? One of the things Solomon says after he does that, because that's what breaks marriage, he said, avoid debt. How many of you have ever had debt that almost broke you? How many of you have fought over things that should be done in the house and fussed and carried on about things that you don't... Claudette Smith, come. And I need one more. A gentleman, come. Pray over this generation.
Father, we thank you for your word this morning. It is indeed a lamp unto our path. Lord, you see the next generation before you. You have plans and purposes for their lives. You said it in your word, for I know the plans I have for you. And may your word just cover them with your precious blood. Each young man, each young woman, who has a mother and a father who lives on their knees for them. Father, may they see, may the scales fall from their eyes, and may they see the glory of God come down on them, because you have a plan for them. Lord, in the midnight hour when they turn and they hear the voice of God, may they not harden their heart, but learn to bend their knees and come before you, because we know each day is a different day. But we know that you created that day and that you have a plan for them. Oh God, speak to their hearts. You have given them desires. You have given them creativity. You have given them godly wisdom. May they learn how to use it. Each new day as they face the day, may they learn how to come before you first thing, instead of putting on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever else, may they go to your word and pick a proverb for the day, because indeed it will keep foolishness away. So bless them now, O God. May they recognize their giftings and work towards it, because we know that you have joined them with yourself, but they need to work so they can see what plan you have for them. So Father, hush them into your presence as they move forward in their careers, in their giftings, in their job, wherever they may be. May they see opportunity for you to use them and help them to speak, have that voice that you have given them. May they not be lazy in that voice, but use that voice, because you will give them direction, and may they recognize that. So we thank you for our young people in this church. May your blessings continue to fall upon them, and use them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We thank you for the knowledge that you have given unto us. The Bible says grace and mercy be multiplied through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you because it's by your knowledge that many of us changed our ways. And we pray that as these ones, oh God, put to work, allow the word to become flesh. I pray they will have success in all that they do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of today's message. Thank you because we shall not remain the same. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.